Egypt and Israel close to agreement. China and Japan ratify treaty of peace and friendship. Salt talks nearing windup. Joskalovich case going to the jury at last. Good morning. This is Dallas Townsend with the CBS World News Roundup. Unless all the indications are wrong, Egypt and Israel are on the verge of agreement on a peace treaty. But it's not yet certain. Some details remain to be worked out. Egyptian President Sadat has been making a thorough study of the proposed final draft, and this morning he sent word to the Egyptian delegation in Washington that the draft needs further study in some of its parts. Exactly which parts, the announcement in Cairo didn't say. CBS News diplomatic correspondent Marvin Kalb in Washington reports on the principal points still in dispute.
There are still differences between the two sides, such as oil. Can Israel still depend on oil from the Sinai, and at what price? They should start discussing that today. Another difference, who will pay for the dismantling of Israeli settlements and military bases in the Sinai? According to conference sources here, these are differences that are really details. The basic political problems have now been solved, principally as a result of President Carter's crucial intervention last Friday night with the Israelis and Saturday morning with the Egyptians. It was then that they all reached tentative agreement on a loose link between this treaty and a solution to the Palestinian problem on the West Bank and the Gaza Strip, as well as on the pacing and level of normalizing diplomatic relations between the two sides. The draft peace treaty contains a preamble, 9 main clauses, and 3 annexes. There is agreement now on everything except parts of the annexes, but the Egyptian and Israeli governments must now give final and formal approval to this package. Barring a major hitch, that is expected to happen sometime this week after Foreign Minister Dayan's return. Marvin Kalb, CBS News, the State Department.
The Israeli cabinet meets late today to vote on whatever agreements have been reached in Washington, and Dan Raviv has that story in Tel Aviv.
The cabinet will almost surely approve whatever agreements were reached in Washington, but only after what's expected to be a long and stormy meeting. Sources say Prime Minister Begin will stand behind his negotiators, Foreign Minister Dayan and Defense Minister Weizmann, who've come home for this debate. But 4 or 5 ministers, representing about a quarter of the cabinet, have some very sharp questions prepared based on their unwillingness to make any concessions beyond the Camp David Accords. More than anything, these ministers want no connection between the Israel-Egypt treaty and the occupied West Bank and Gaza. If they're not satisfied with the answers they get, these cabinet members will vote no on the draft treaty, and some have privately threatened to resign. That would not bring down Begin's government, but it would make his parliamentary majority very slim. Dan Raviv for CBS News, Tel Aviv.
Despite President Sadat's reservations about the final draft, reservations that we mentioned a moment ago, Cairo still appears confident that the peace treaty with Israel will be signed very shortly. Doug Sager reports from Cairo that in an apparent confirmation of that, the Egyptian army has been ordered to stand by for reconstruction work. Specific plans for the peacetime army have not been announced, but President Sadat has spoken of sending reconstruction battalions into the Sinai and of reclaiming millions of acres of desert land through the use of troops and materiel.
You don't have to be rich to live someplace safe and clean in New York. Just smart. Move to Starrett City, a really good place to live. It's got the lowest crime rate for any neighborhood in New York and a 24-hour security force to keep it that way. You'll have good schools, playgrounds, even a brand new $8 million pool club. And wait until you see the apartments with big sunny rooms and lots of closets. Over 5,000 families have already made the smart move to Starrett City. And with the rent so reasonable, it's no wonder. Air conditioning, gas, and electricity are even included in the rent. Starrett City is right off the Belt Parkway at exit 14 west of Woodhaven Boulevard. It's 85% occupied and apartments are going fast, but a number of 2- and 3-bedroom apartments are still available. So for an appointment to see the models, call 245-0100. That's 245-0100. Call now, even if you're just thinking of moving.
China and Japan today concluded work on their new treaty of peace and friendship. Bruce Dunning reports that the accompanying ceremonies were appropriately formal.
The emperor and the vice premier, two septuagenarians who symbolized nearly a half a century of conflict between Japan and China. They stood together for a stiff formal portrait, and then the Japanese emperor and the Chinese communist leader sat down for a formal French luncheon in the state dining room of the Imperial Palace. the meeting of Deng Xiaoping, who fought the Japanese armies, and the emperor, in whose name those armies invaded China, completed the ceremony of ratifying the long-awaited peace and friendship treaty. Just a short time before, Deng and Japan's Prime Minister Fukuda looked on as their foreign ministers exchanged ratified copies of the treaty they had signed last August in Peking. Now the Chinese will start talking business with the Japanese, who have been expecting dramatically expanded trade to result from the treaty. Deng will be meeting with Japan's top economic leaders in the next few days. Forgotten in the euphoria of this Deng Xiaoping boom is the fact that Moscow calls this treaty the start of an anti-Soviet alliance linking Japan, China, and the United States. Bruce Dunning, CBS News, Tokyo.
The second round of talks on the new Strategic Arms Limitation Agreement is now in its final phase. Bernard Redmond reports from Moscow.
The SALT talks resumed this morning between Secretary of State Vance and Foreign Minister Gromyko. 6 hours of hard bargaining yesterday produced a note of optimism among American officials. The negotiators are trying to overcome a few final hurdles to a new treaty restricting nuclear bombers and missiles. The unresolved issues have been the limits to be placed on American cruise missiles and Soviet backfire bombers, new missile systems, and the timing for bringing Soviet strategic weapons down to an agreed ceiling. American officials have called the talks up to now constructive, serious, and businesslike. And Soviet officials, in private conversations with American reporters, are talking about an eventual summit meeting in the U.S., perhaps before the end of the year. Bernard Redmond, CBS News, Moscow.
Secretary Vance said this morning that some difficulties remain to be resolved. But he added, we believe that there are no problems that cannot be worked out fairly and reasonably, given goodwill and determination on both sides. Soviet President Brezhnev is expected to join the discussions on this final day of the Moscow talks.
We pay more than discount flyers, but we don't get more.
Full fare passengers today are saying just that, and frankly, they have a point. That's why TWA now has Full Fare Coach, a new class of service exclusively for our full fare flyers. You'll get priority treatment like separate check-in at major airports and your own section on the plane.
After all, we're their best customers.
TWA's Full Fare Coach. It's a class by itself for our best customers.
Bob Harris, weather story today, breezy and warm, 70 to 75 degrees, sunshine giving way to increasing clouds later. There could be a shower by evening, and north winds tonight, cloudy, windy, sharply colder, scattered showers, and maybe even a thunderstorm overnight. The low by tomorrow morning, 41 to 46 in New York City. Tuesday will be partly sunny, windy, and chilly. The daytime high tomorrow, 20 degrees colder than today, the high 50 to 55. It is 58 degrees in New York City, and it's 8 minutes after 8 o'clock.
In Hackensack, New Jersey, Judge William Arnold charges the jury today in the Mario Juskalovich murder trial. Jerry Landay tells us about it.
The patient jury that receives the case later today or tomorrow morning was reinforced with 6 alternates when the trial started in February to hedge against illnesses and accidents. There is but one alternate left more than 8 months later. In a trial, courthouse officials are claiming may be the longest for a single murder defendant in American history. The trial's been distinguished by the unusual nature of the case. A brilliant surgeon accused of injecting lethal doses of curare into the hospital patients of 2 rival surgeons. The repeated confrontations between a woman prosecutor and a brilliant attorney who earned a reputation as a civil rights advocate, but who concedes he does not like the idea of woman lawyers. And the symbolic presence of Myron Farber, the reporter for the New York Times, whose expose helped produce the indictment. Farber, who refuses to turn over his notes and confidential sources to the judge in the trial, is in jail next door. In his summation, defense attorney Raymond Brown portrayed Farber as the ambitious partner of a prosecution team out to win a case at Juskalovich's expense. But prosecutor Sybil Moses accused Brown of inventing conspiracies to divert attention from his client. She told the jury, it's not Farber who's on trial, but Juskalovich. Jerry Landay, CBS News, New York.
Punk rock performer Sid Vicious, who was charged last week with the murder of his girlfriend, was taken to a hospital in Manhattan before dawn. Police say he tried to slash his wrists with a broken light bulb. Vicious has been free on $50,000 bail, pending a preliminary hearing on the case scheduled for late this month.
Do you realize that I would have to earn 12% to keep the same dollars I get from that discount tax-free bond at S.A. Ramirez?
That much? 12%?
Sure. I bought my 5% tax-free bond at a discount, which is currently yielding 6%. And in my tax bracket, that's worth 12%.
And on top of that, you're guaranteed capital growth when that bond matures.
Uh-huh.
That's smart.
That's why so many sophisticated investors depend on the tax-free bond experts at S.A. Ramirez for high-yield, tax-free income. They know their business through and through. Unlike generalists, they can dig a little deeper to find the right tax-free bond at the right price.
Uh-huh.
At Ramirez, they also maintain a multi-million dollar inventory of discount tax-free bonds for other bond dealers and their own customers, like me and you.
Sounds good to me. I'm going to call the tax-free bond experts at S.A. Ramirez.
In New York, call S.A. Ramirez Collect at 212-248-0500. 248-0500.
New York Stock Exchange opens for business today after one of its grimmest weeks ever. The Dow Jones Industrial Average plummeted more than 59 points in 5 days. That was the worst decline in the 93-year history of the Dow. But looking for a silver lining, even when the clouds are darkest, is one of Wall Street's most endearing features. And we'll hear about that from CBS News business correspondent Ray Brady.
Wall Street is hoping that the stock market this week will see at least a technical rally, a period where, with stocks so low in price, bargain hunters come in to buy and the market has a brief upward move. That usually follows the kind of sharp drop the market has been in, a drop that has been right across the board, pushing down many of the transportation stocks, just about cutting in half the price of many gambling stocks, and even hitting what are called the smokestack issues, the stocks of basic American industries. But while Wall Street hopes for a rally, it is not sure one is coming. President Carter is scheduled to talk about wage and price guidelines this week, and, whether rightly or wrongly, the belief that his new anti-inflation program will not be effective has been one of the factors driving down the market. Also, later this week, the government releases its latest figures on the Consumer Price Index, a prime measure of inflation. And the steady upward spiral in that index has been another factor pushing down stocks. Ray Brady, CBS News, New York.
Down was the operative word again today in Tokyo, at least as far as the U.S. dollar was concerned. The dollar struck still another post-war low on the Tokyo foreign exchange market, 181 yen. The Bank of Japan bought about $100 million to support the U.S. currency in the afternoon. The dollar also reached a low, new low against the West German mark, slightly below 1.80 marks. The price of gold was fixed in London at $229 an ounce, more than a dollar above Friday's close.
From the fabrics in your automobile, to your household carpeting, to your wall coverings, to most any fabric you live with, Collins and Aikman is always a step ahead. We were a step ahead when we worked with the automotive industry to produce beautiful and innovative fabrics, from floor carpeting to the headliner inside the roof, fabrics that install easily and economically. Collins and Aikman was a step ahead with plush carpeting for your bathroom. We also gave you coordinated accessories in a wide range of decorator colors and put it all in attractive packages. We were a step ahead with wall cover, a product you apply to rough walls like cinder block or stucco. It provides a smooth base that you can cover quickly and easily with our wide selection of wall covering. Collins and Aikman is always a step ahead in producing products for the apparel, home furnishings, and industrial markets. Collins and Aikman, always a step ahead.
Monday morning at WCBS News Radio 88, the 23rd day of the month of October, 14 minutes after 8, sunshine and warm and clouds and cold tonight. Good morning, I'm Jim Donnelly.
Good morning, I'm Lou Adler. A reminder about alternate side parking regulations. They are suspended for today and tomorrow.